Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Aiken City Council meeting on October 26, 2009. We appreciate everyone being here. And as we go through our agenda, if you'd like to have a comment on any of the issues, you certainly are able to do that. And we'll just raise your hand at some point, and we'll certainly call on you. As we get started, if you desire, would you stand with us for a prayer and a pledge of allegiance?
May we pray. Father in heaven, as we look to you tonight, Father, we come to you with thanksgiving in our hearts for all the many blessings in which you so freely given to us. Father, we thank you for your infinite love, for your mercy, for your grace, which has no bounds. Father, we thank you for the blessings of allowing us to be a part of Aiken, South Carolina, in this great city. Father, we thank you for the citizens in which you've given to us here, those who love this city, those who are concerned for this city. Lord, those who don't just stand on the sidelines, but Father, those who are willing to volunteer, those who are willing to get involved to make this a better place and to keep it the gem in which you've given to us. Father, we pray tonight as we debate the city's business, Father, that you'll give us clarity of mind. Father, that you'll give us a heart after yours. A heart, Lord, that even though we may not always agree, we can do it in a very agreeable manner. Father, I just pray that everything that's said and done in this meeting tonight will only honor and glorify thee. We ask these things in him whose name is above all names. Amen.
Amen.
Are there any additions or deletions necessary to the agenda this evening? If not, do we have a motion and a second?
So moved.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item one of the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of October 12th, 2009. Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve the minutes as written.
Okay. Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Under old business, the first item is appointments to boards and commissions. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. We have several appointments before you tonight. But before we get started, I'd like to apologize. There was some confusion at the last meeting where some appointments were suggested, which occurred after a couple of the council members were leaving, and we had that straightened out. In fact, I think we'll have some good news that the appointments that were suggested will be coming back to City Council at a later date, but for that, I'm sorry for the confusion that had. Moving forward, Councilmember Dewar has asked that we recommend appointment of L. Snell to the Park Commission to replace Bill Beasley. He would like to go ahead and see the reappointment of Marsha Rogers to the Environmental Committee and Charles Hurst to the Design Review Board. And then he would like to name Francis Farley as his appointment to the Housing Committee, which we discussed a couple of, over the last couple of years, discussed adding a seventh person to the Aiken Housing Authority. The other appointment we have is Councilmember Smith would like to reappoint Charles Hogan to the Aviation Commission. Those are the five appointments for you tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved. Second.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? passes unanimously. Now, are there any nominations for reappointments or new members that would be on the agenda next meeting?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to recommend the reappointment of Craig Jarvis to the General Aviation Commission, please.
Okay. Any others? I have one at this time, and that's Brenda Mills' reappointment to the Recreation Commission. Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to announce the appointment of Jane Page Thompson to the Board of Zoning Appeals. Jane Page is with us tonight, and as we know, she has frequently appeared before the council to discuss issues of zoning, so I consider her highly qualified, and I'm delighted that she's willing to serve.
Okay. Very good. Any others? Okay. Thank you. They'll be on our agenda next meeting. Item 2 is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to refund water and sewer system bond. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by its title only because of the size of it. It's an ordinance by the City Council of the City of Aiken, South Carolina, concerning our providing for the issuance and sale of water and sewer system revenue bonds for the City of Aiken. This particular item here, you discussed thoroughly at your last meeting. It's taking our 1990 issue that City had, which was then reissued in 1997. We feel that we could save a significant amount of money by going ahead and reissuing it. We're in a tremendously unique situation here in Aiken, and it's one that rivals probably any other city, certainly in South Carolina, but across the nation, that this is our last bond that we'll have. We have not had a general fund debt for about 8 years, and once this is concluded in 2015, then we'll be debt-free. And again, as a city, especially one that has utilities, in talking to our bond attorney, Margaret Pope, we're her worst nightmare as a community is concerned, because we don't go out for a lot of a debt. And that's something I think City Council should be very proud of. When we went ahead and issued this, we sent proposals to every local bank here in our area and then some others in the region. We did receive the bids today. I sent you an email with those results. Margaret will get up in just a moment here and answer any questions you have, but they came back very favorable. And we will be able to save, once we take out all of our costs, about $235,000. So again, it's great credit to Margaret and her help, to Kim Abney and the finance helps and everybody else able to do this. But most of all, to each of you for the fact that every time we look at our budget and look at possible new projects, it's very much foremost in your mind of trying to stay out of debt and trying to go ahead and do the right things conservatively with our funds here. So for your consideration tonight, this is second reading and a public hearing of an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of water and sewer system revenue bonds in the amount of $4,195,000.
Thank you, sir. Margaret, if you would like to address this, come on up. And this is a second reading and public hearing of this ordinance, so if anyone else in the audience would like to speak, you certainly may do so.
Good evening. It's very nice to be back with you. I think, and when your city manager said that y'all were my worst nightmare, I saw some people cringe. That was a compliment. It's that you don't need me very much because you don't borrow much money. So it was intended to be very much of a compliment. Bond lawyers love to do their work, but sometimes I have some clients who need me every time they turn around, and that's not so great either. So if y'all would look, please, at your schedule. If you have it with you, I have some extra sheets with me. Would anybody like a copy of this?
They do not have a copy.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm on the phone with you, right?
Yeah, we can share.
This page shows you very clearly The outstanding principal interest payments on your bond issue that you have outstanding, as Mr. LaDuke said, it is your 1997 bond issue. If the bonds just remained outstanding at the rates that were initially sold, you would be paying overall the bottom of the right-hand column, $4,867,427.50. That's the principal and interest as it was originally sold. Based on the bids that we received today, and I will tell you, it was amazing. We have not had this many bids on a bond issue, I would say, at least in 2 years. And we don't get this many very often at all. It's sort of like going back 15 years ago when all of the banks were very involved. A lot of this, of course, had to do with your high credit standing. You have an A. It was reconfirmed in May. You don't have very much debt. $4,195,000 is enough to get the attention of all of the banks. Sometimes we have more trouble selling the little $500,000 and $600,000 bonds because a lot of the banks are just not interested. It's not enough money for them to be interested in. Also, it matures in 5 years, and that's just really where the banks want to go as far as a maturity. So if you look in the middle table, you will see these are the bids that you received for Citizens, BB&T, Bank of America, SunTrust Bank, RBC, and Regions Bank. All extremely competitive. But, of course, the winning bid is that of First Citizens, who I'm sure relishes the partnership they have with you, and they came in at the lowest interest rate of 2.98%. No real conditions on the bid. The Regions Bank bid was very interesting in that they wanted to give a variable rate. And, of course, you know, when you look at where LIBOR is today, that's very tempting. But as we discussed with your city manager and your finance director, our advice is to take the fixed rate. There's no collar. There's no maximum point at which the interest rates would stop. If LIBOR goes up like it had in the last couple of years, it's very low right now. It's less than a point. It's less than half of a point. But if LIBOR goes up, then your rate's going to go up too. In my mind, when you're doing a refunding, you take a low fixed rate because then you know exactly what your savings are going to be. So our advice is to take the 2.98% from per Citizens. That gives you an overall savings, if you follow over on the top column, $259,250.50. And actually, that is after you pay cost of issuance. So we're better than we had even originally thought we were going to be. That is after you pay my fee. There'll be a little bit of expense for copying and mileage and that little thing, but you're going to be over $250,000 after everything is said and done. So you have saved the Citizens over $250,000. And that's, in my mind, no small thing. You divide that by what you would have paid, you are at over a 5% savings. And most people do refundings when it's 3%. That's sort of the benchmark. So to me, y'all have done a great thing. The market rallied. I wish I could take credit for where the market was. I can't. It's whatever it's going to be on that day.
Go ahead.
But well, thank you. Thank you. I'll take credit. But I think you did. You sold beautifully, and I certainly recommend taking this and giving a second reading.
Margaret, thank you so much for your work.
Thank you. It was really a pleasure. Your staff is wonderful. They have everything just as they should. The audit was ready when we needed it ready. Everything fell into place through no small effort of just having everything that your staff needed at my fingertips. So I thank you for that.
Right. Well, thank you so much. And I want to thank our city manager and Kim also for their sharp eyes and their thoughts about looking into these kinds of things, you know. And I know we all appreciate that very much, to be right on the ball all the time on how we can save our citizens' money and also spend our citizens' money correctly. So, Roger, thank you. Kim, thank you and your staff and everyone else, whoever else had something to do with this. Now, if there's anyone else in the audience who would like to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve this on second reading. I have to comment, I never thought I would find a bond attorney interesting, but I heard Mrs. I heard her at the state meeting, and it was a fascinating talk she gave there, and the last week was, you know, 2 weeks ago was as well, so thank you very much. I especially appreciate that.
It's even more interesting when you're getting some money back. You're saving some money.
But I think I may have come close to understanding a little bit of this, and so I appreciate the lesson.
I second Jane's motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Okay, passes unanimously. Very good. Item 3, second reading and public hearing of an ordinance accepting the fiscal year 2008-2009 audited financial statements. Mr. Waduke, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by the title. It's an ordinance accepting the fiscal year 2008-2009 audited financial statements and authorizing the variance to the fiscal year 2008-2009 budget ordinance. As council is well aware, every year you pass a budget in June. Not only is the audit here to give you the results of our previous year, but it does reconcile all of our various accounts. You had an opportunity at the last meeting to hear from our auditors, and I believe she answered all of your questions. I hope so, because we didn't invite her back. But Kim is here tonight to go into anything that you may still have a question of. But again, as we stated on just the previous issue, it's because of the financial condition that the city is in that allows us to do the many wonderful things that council and the city wants us to do. So with that, we do ask that you would consider this second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to approve the city fiscal year budget 2008 as given to you last meeting.
Thank you, sir. This is second reading public hearing 2 of this ordinance. If anyone wants to speak on this issue, you may do so. If not, it's back to City Council for consideration. Excuse me. Do we have a motion? Second.
I move we accept the audit as submitted.
Okay.
A second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under new business, first reading of an ordinance to amend the July 11th, 1990 bond ordinance and amendments made in 1997. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read this by title. It's an ordinance restating and amending an ordinance entitled an ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of water and sewer system refunding and capital improvement revenue bonds of the city of Aiken, South Carolina, and other matters related thereto enacted on July 1, 1990 and amended on October 16, 1997 and other matters relating thereto. It's a very long document, but again, what we are trying to do here is to take the two documents we had before, meld them into one, take some of the areas that might have been a little off with each one into one ordinance that our bond attorney feels very comfortable with as we move forward. Because the process we will now have is within a 24-hour period, we'll let First Citizens know that they were awarded the bid. And then we have to start notifying all the bondholders before December that this is going to be happening. So there's some set dates and procedures that we have to now go through. And this ordinance will go ahead and tie it all together as we move forward with the cancellation, the repayment of the bond that we had. So we would like council to consider the approval of this. If you had any questions, Margaret would be happy to answer them. Otherwise, she is more than happy to head back home with her husband.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second on this ordinance?
Mr. Mayor, I'll move that we accept the revised ordinance as issued.
Okay, I'll second.
I'll move that we approve the first reading of an ordinance to amend the July 11th, 1990 bond ordinance and amendments made in 1997.
Okay. I seconded it. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Item 2 is a resolution for approval of purchase of property at 2340 Whiskey Road. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. For several years, the city has been talking about various roadway improvements that we will need to be undertaking in the next several years. Within the second round of the sales tax project, money was set aside to begin the process of extending the road that we call the Powder House Extension. In other words, going a route from Whiskey Road over to Powder House. A committee was set up consisting of three city residents, three council members from the city, three council members from the county, and then three citizens at large. They spent nearly 2 years looking at various alternative routes that we would maybe want to extend this roadway from Whiskey Road to Powder House. The suggested route was to extend Eastgate Drive straight across Whiskey Road and then head up in a northeasterly direction until you come to Powder House Road, somewhere in the vicinity, plus or minus, where Old Powder House Road comes in. We know that that road will start to take place as far as the actual development of it over the next few years. There's a lot of vacant property between Whiskey Road and Powder House. We've been in discussion with the owners of the properties on more than one occasion in the last few years. And also this road would intersect with another road that will parallel Whiskey Road going in a northern or southerly direction from Centennial and Corporate Parkway. And that would be behind Bonneview Subdivision, or about 3/4 mile east of Whiskey Road. To get started on this whole project, though, we need to go ahead and acquire the property that is just opposite Eastgate Drive at Whiskey Road. This property is at 2340 Whiskey Road. We have spoken to the owner of the property on more than one occasion. They are anxious to sell it to us during this fiscal year. They have received two prices in the past for this property. One was in 2001 at $810,000, and one was in 2007 at $850,000. They have agreed to sell the property to us at the price that they were going to receive in 2007. I have spoken to them. They have signed this contract that you have before you tonight. I have spoken to the individual who currently is operating their business at this location, gave him a copy of the contract and told him that we are certainly going to honor the lease that he currently has, which would be February of 2012. At that point in time, or actually sometime prior to that, we will need to decide if we're going to go ahead and extend the lease or not. I told him that we would give him at least 6 months to a year if we decide not to extend the lease. So all parties have been notified and are looking towards tonight us passing this resolution. So for your consideration tonight, we would like you to consider the purchase of property at 2340 Whiskey Road for the Powder House Extension for $850,000. Funds are available from the 1 cent sales tax, which was approved by the voters in 2004 for this purchase. So funds are already in the bank waiting to purchase the property.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
I'm happy to move on this. Yes.
Second that, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Discussion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I fully support the purchase, but I want to make sure that we do some forward planning before we take any actions to actually build that road. That's a very large parcel of land that we're talking about. I'm not sure how many owners there are, but our only control over what goes there is the zoning, and the only control over the zoning is when we build that road. So whether we need to have a work session or something, we really need to focus on forward planning, because if that's not developed properly, that could be disastrous to our traffic situation in Aiken, even with the new road.
Absolutely, Dick. You're right on. I think we all agree to that.
And just to act on that, all the property where this road will be surrounded by is currently outside the city.
I realize
that. So any property that wants our water and sewer, and all these property owners do want our water and sewer, will be coming to the city with extensive plans. The comprehensive plan has already looked at this area. They have some strong suggestions as to what should be in there. But again, I would say that more than likely the property will be coming back as either planned commercial, planned residential, or both for council to look at. And therefore, you'll be able to look at it very intently and decide what changes you would want to see before any of that comes in the city, and you will then set whatever zoning you feel is appropriate.
And at least one major, and I think maybe other landowners there were in on the original when in the committee, you know, when
yes.
they got together and started talking about it. And as Roger has said, they're kind of excited about it also, what can be. But you make an excellent point. We certainly need to watch that. Yes.
Mayor, for the record, the question was asked of me, and like it stated in the record, why this is a resolution versus two readings on this with the purchase of $850,000.
You can certainly do an ordinance if you want to, but state law does not require you to do an ordinance when you're purchasing real estate. It does require you to have a public hearing, and that's what the purpose of a resolution is for. If you were selling property, on the other hand, if it's property owned by citizens, by the city of Aiken, you are required to have an ordinance. State law does require an ordinance for the sale of real estate, but not the purchase of real estate.
Thank you.
I think, you know, if this were questionable at all, I think it's even less questionable the fact that it was in the 1 cent sales tax initially approved.
I'm so, just stating the question.
No, it's an excellent question. And, you know, I think if there were any real concerns about this, then certainly we ought to do it by ordinance if they are. But I don't think, since it was pre-approved and the price is the same and hasn't changed since 07. So, okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Item 3 is a first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Thomas Street. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Joe and Gladys Norman and located at 103 Thomas Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. They would like to come into the city so that they could go ahead and start receiving sanitary, sewer, and other city services. This was part of an overall plan that City Council developed in around year 2000 to put sewer in the Virginia Acres area, with the intent that over a period of time, all these properties would eventually annex in the city. This has been occurring one lot at a time, and we're very happy with the progress. And so we would like you to consider approving this, as the Planning Commission also voted unanimously to approve this at their last meeting. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 103 Thomas Street under the RS-10 zoning. Upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we adopt the first reading of this ordinance to annex property at 103 Thomas Street.
Second. Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Item 4 is the first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 138 Linwood Drive. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. I'm going to read this by title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Dorothy M. Hall and located at 138 Linwood Drive, and zone the same residential single-family RS-15. She would like to annex, again, their interest in receiving city services. There is no sewer on that road currently, so that is something they have been told that it will be several years before they would see any sewer on that. This is the second property that we had on Linwood Drive that has come to the city just in the past few months. Based on that, I've asked Ed Evans to talk to the other property owners that although we're interested in annexing other property, I'd rather not see them come in at one at a time. If we could get several of them to come in at one time, that would be much more advantageous as far as trying to serve this area. So they're going to go ahead and determine if there are others in that area. But since this has gone through the process, the Planning Commission is now before City Council, we are asking that you would consider this property. The Planning Commission did unanimously approve this at that October meeting, and this is the first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 138 Linwood Drive under the RS-15 zone. And upon your consideration, a second reading public hearing would be held.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Move, Mr. Mayor, that we approve the property for annexation at 138 Linwood Drive under the RS-15 zone.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, we have a second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, it passes unanimously. Item 5 is a resolution accepting the coroner's deed of dedication. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'm going to read this by its title. It's a resolution authorizing acceptance of a quick claim deed of the dedication for the water and sewers and stormwater systems from Bolton Properties Incorporated and Bluff Point Villas Association located at the Corner Subdivision. When this property was originally developed in 1989, the intent was, and the intent is still, to keep this as private roads, that these would not be public roads. But somehow lost in all that was the fact that the water and sewer were never dedicated to the city of Aiken. There have been some issues concerning that, who repairs the water lines, the sewer lines, a little bit on who actually owns them at this time. Is it the original owner, Bolton Properties, or does the association own it? The association, we feel, owns it, but we have put a quick claim deed for both to go ahead and clear up this matter. We have reviewed the system, and for being 20 years old, it's in relatively good shape. But it's the right thing of getting that so the city could go ahead and maintain the water and the sewer lines in a proper manner and not putting the burden on those individual homeowners that are in that subdivision. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of a resolution authorizing acceptance of a quick claim deed of dedication for the water, sewer, and stormwater systems for the Corner Subdivision.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor,
just a point of order. We're reversing. We have two separate memos on this issue. One, you're separating them, one for the roads and one for the
water? No, we are not accepting the roads. We're only accepting the water, the sewer, and the stormwater system.
Okay, I thought we had something that the roads would be... Oh, I'm sorry, maintain. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, it's okay, no problem. Do we have a motion and second?
So, Mr. Mayor, that we adopt this resolution accepting that coroner's deed of dedication.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Under petitions and requests, first item, we have a presentation from Dr. Rosalie Hayes Fox concerning property at 312 Ory Street. Rosalie?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for putting this item on your agenda and giving some concern to the issue. In 2008, in September, the property at Ory and Colleton Avenue, known as Let's Pretend, a very significant historic structure in Aiken, was sold. And work proceeded to remodel it. After a few months, the work gradually halted, and at a point a few months ago, it ceased altogether. Over the months that the work was no longer being conducted, those of us living in the area became concerned because there were obvious safety and health hazards involved, And, of course, this marvelous old structure had just been abandoned as a kind of decaying hulk. And those of us who live in the historic district are very sensitive to these issues, as I think most of the people in Aiken are, and I know this council is. We began to kind of monitor the property on our own because of some of the concerns. There were four large entryways beneath the house where you could get into the lower section, sort of a basement structure underneath. And neighbors were finding large possums appearing in their yards and snakes and other kinds of vermin. A swimming pool had been left full of water, and it was gradually turning very slimy and discolored. And the swimming pool is not fenced in. There's just an ornamental fence at one end and a gate, but the rest of the surrounding areas are easily accessible by children and pets. And the liquid contents of the pool gradually just turn to a very green slime. Other issues, of course, were that it would breed mosquitoes, and we had a big mosquito problem this summer, at least in our neighborhood, and that infected mosquitoes can spread heartworm to dogs, and that possums who become infected and seek drinking water around the area, particularly in the troughs of the horse farms in the area, spread a disease called EPM to horses. There were numerous safety and health issues involved. We did not complain to the city immediately because we kept thinking that the work would resume. We had no information whatsoever on why the work had halted, and we just kept thinking that the work would resume. And there were some attempts to discuss the issue with the person who was designated as the contractor, but those attempts were not welcomed, and we got nowhere there. So eventually, I did contact Mr. LeDuc and ask if the city would, in fact, look at this issue and try to alleviate the existing safety and health hazards, but in addition to that, try to determine what had gone wrong here and how this this occurrence could be avoided in the future. Because we have many old structures in the historic district which have to undergo restoration from time to time. And although this specific issue has been brought to our attention, in general, this could happen to any of the remaining historic structures that are in this one historic district. We want to treat this as a learning experience. You know, how did this happen? Why did this happen? And what has to be done to avoid such an occurrence in the future? And we're confident that with all of the commissions and the committees and councils in our city that in fact deal with restoration of our historic structures, that resolutions can be found. There has to be ways to oversee officially the work of such structures so that it proceeds in a manner that presents no health and safety issues whatsoever to the communities. Plus, of course, the structures themselves have to be safeguarded. And if you will permit me, I have a letter that the former owners of the property sent and asked that I read it and share it with you. That would be Ted and Pat Pearson, whom I think a lot of you know. The letter is addressed to the Aiken City Council, and I will provide you with the letter when I'm finished. This letter concerns our former residence, Let's Pretend, located at 312 Oree Street in the southeast section of Aiken's historic district. Let's Pretend is designated and plaqued as a significant historic landmark of Aiken. There are many documents attesting to the important role that this residence has played throughout the development of both the nation and the local community. The structure is between 140 and 150 years in age and was once owned by South Carolina's Gouverneur Morris, whose great-grandfather had been one of the signers of America's Declaration of Independence. Rudyard Kipling, author of The Jungle Book, was one of Let's Pretend's many notable visitors. A framed letter from Kipling hung on the wall of the dining room, describing the beauty of the home and thanking the Gouverneur for his warm hospitality. We purchased Let's Pretend in January of 1997 and enjoyed life there for 11 years. While we owned the property, it was carefully and extensively refurbished under the guidance of the City Commission, now known as the Design Review Board. Its architectural integrity was tediously preserved. Upon completion, the renovations won the city's annual award for restoration of historic structures. In addition, the gardens and flower beds were restored to their former beauty. Over the years of our guardianship of Let's Pretend, it was the site of many community events, including Aiken Symphony Guild concerts, heartboard teas, garden and home walking tours, and the Aiken Watercolor Society garden painting outings. When we sold the property, we diligently explained the significance of Let's Pretend's historicity to the new owner. We presented him with the many documents in our possession attesting to this significance and were assured that no modifications of the structure and grounds would occur without the approval of Aiken's Design Review Board and other official entities responsible for overseeing Aiken's historic district structures. In fact, the Design Review Board chair was enlisted to advise the contractors on issues involving both internal and external repairs and remodeling. When we vacated the property in September of 2008, the property was in good repair and entirely habitable. The lovely grounds and gardens were manicured, and the pool was newly lined and its waters crystal clear. To our sorrow, this once grand old landmark of the historic district gradually became an abandoned hulk that now stands in sad disarray. Siding has been torn off that was never replaced, which allowed rainwater to pour in. The unattended pool of the water of the pool gradually turned to green slime. The gardens were denuded, and the old vines and plantings that once graced the notable brick walls surrounding the property were torn down. The property now stands in shambles, and we have received many complaints from our former neighbors about the loss of this community landmark, the effect it is likely having on area property values, the danger that its open gates present to neighborhood children and pets, parens, especially with the pool unfenced, uncovered, and transforming into a slimy bog, and the health hazard the property now presents to the community as a mosquito breeding site and haven for possums, snakes, vagrants, and other potential nuisances. We cannot understand how this could have happened to this marvelous old property, considering that so many official offices exist to prevent such an occurrence, including the Design Review Board, the Planning Department, the City Permit Department, the Aiken Historic Society, and others. Where was the oversight of this project? Most importantly, we would like to know how this kind of neglect or negligent effort and mismanagement can be prevented so that other historic properties do not suffer similar fates. We are equally concerned that all future renovation projects in the historic district be given the appropriate official oversight required to prevent the safety and health hazards which have occurred at Let's Pretend. Sincerely, Theodore and Pat Pearson. So it is simply the request of the members of our community that the board consider these issues, treat it as a learning experience, determine what needed to be in place to prevent this from happening so that it can't occur again in the future. Thank you very much for hearing us.
I have a question, Rosalie.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Beverly.
Is the property for sale now? Or is someone living in the house now?
I'm not the person to really be answering that, but it is my understanding from the Pearsons that the house has been sold. They vacated and moved into their new home. The new owner appointed a contractor, a local contractor, to make restorations, or not restorations, but renovations, and ran out of money and gradually abandoned the project. We understand that cash flows can occur, especially in these times, but what we can't understand is how it could have happened the way it happened, that the pool was left untreated and uncovered, that there were holes or entryways under the house that were, the doors had been torn off and they were gone, that siding had been ripped off of the house, and that the rainwater pours in, and that the place is now, what was once a grand historic structure is now just an abandoned hulk. And I don't know if and when the current owner plans to continue the work. We understand that, you know, perhaps he does, but our problem is how this happened and what do we do to prevent it in the future.
Thank you.
Dr. Fox, let me just mention and thank you for bringing this to our attention. Also, Jane Gunnels, for bringing it to my attention. I want you to know that once we heard about this, our staff took action, and I wrote you two notes saying what had been done. But we do appreciate you bringing this to our attention.
I have a resolution.
That's fine. I'll get there. I just want to bring everyone up to speed on, and thank you for bringing it to our attention. I also want to thank our staff for doing all they could once we knew about this to bring this to a head where the safety items were taken care of, and the gates locked. The holes in the foundation covered up, the high weeds that were in the back part of the lot cut down, the pool, I understand, was treated. Richard was treated, and is there cover over it? I'm not sure about that. There's a cover over it now. So those safety items were taken care of. Now, you mentioned, and we all agree, I think, we're in a tough economic times and have been for some months. Whether or not this had some effect on the owner who is overseas, I don't know. But there's some things, Roger, I think maybe you know some more about this from the owner. You mentioned to me earlier that he said that is his home. He intends to fix it up. He intends to live there in Aiken. I personally can't go beyond that because I don't know. We've also had some discussions together here about what can we do, and I don't know that we've formalized anything yet, but we certainly don't want this to happen again. This is a low percentage of all the renovations or new buildings that are built, those kind of things. This doesn't happen often at all, and so we will take action. And whether it's going to be a monitoring group that would go around every week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, whatever it may be, I'm not going to try to predict exactly what it would be. But there have been some discussions on that. So I just wanted to get what I knew and the actions that we took once we found out about the situation. Roger, you want to add anything right now? You want to? Okay, wait.
Well, Your Honor, we do want you to know that we appreciate the very prompt response that we received when we did bring this to your attention. And again, I just want to reiterate that while we don't have any information on it, we could understand how in these times perhaps cash flow problems could occur. That's not our main issue. Our main issue is, why did it happen the way it happened? Why did it happen in a way that presented health and safety problems to the community? And why did it happen in a way that has brought a grand historic structure into such disarray? And we really want the city to look at this, and I think that you've assured us you will, so we appreciate
that. We certainly will. And there are a multitude of new Anderson windows in that house.
Yeah.
Also, we noticed that. Yes.
All right, I have a solution.
Okay.
I'm the outpost okay. division. Hand these out to you.
Sure.
This is called a completion bond, now called a performance bond. And this came from Ethridge Cookson this afternoon. And this can solve all of our problems. If you can't have a statute, vote on a statute to have this as a mandatory thing, we can certainly suggest it until such time as you can. It's an insurance bond, and they can do it on residential houses and also for guarantees of contractor and the maintenance bond and so forth and so on. All of these this information you can put. Hey, thank you. But anyway, I'm a proud owner of the snakes and the possum, the natural rainbow. And it has been quite something. And I would suggest to all of you all that this is something that really needs to be
done quickly. And if you think you can't put this into effect before you have a 90 days in voting and so forth and so on, at least I think you could even go forward with this as far as the guarantees for the contract and so forth. Anyway, Mr. McMichael at Ethridge Hudson has all the papers and all the information about this if you want any more information. But this would certainly solve all of our problems in the future and possibly the ones that exist right now.
I have a question. What seems to have happened in this particular case is that the owner, who would be responsible to pay to do whatever needed to be done or what he wanted to have done to the property, is the primary problem, not the contractor, not the person that he hired. And
no, but this is addressed by this performance bond. If you take out that insurance, then you don't have to worry about it.
Let me finish my question.
Right.
What the description of the performance bond here is one which protects the owner from financial loss should the contractor fail to perform.
No.
That's not the problem here.
Go down to the payment bond, the second.
Payment bond is which guarantees that the contractor will pay the subcontractors. That's not the problem.
All right, well, Mr. McMichael has here. I've got all the thing. I just did that for you so you would know where that came from, what insurance company was coming from, and Mr. McMichael will be glad to explain it to you.
Well, I just wanted to point out that I agree with you. I'd like to find a legal way to obligate the owner once the owner goes to the design review board in this case, and I wouldn't want it citywide. But once the owner goes to the design review board and gets approval, I would love to have a legal document that would hold the owner or whoever's in authority to authorize the repairs to hold them responsible by a bond measure to make sure that they can't walk away.
Right. And you can certainly do that, but this is the insurance that covers the, you know, he has to buy this. He's going to do $1 million worth of damage to a house. It's going to cost $1 million to put that house back together. Then he ensures the insurance company ensures that will be paid.
And then the question comes whether or not the city would have the authority to require that in this particular case, because of the historic structure, that the city could require the owner to have this kind of legal instrument.
Really, really strong requirements on all historic buildings. And that's why we have an historic district. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think it's important to add this one step further. You know, there are boards in that house that are 100 years old that have spaces between them that are about an inch or an inch and a half. You've seen it in here. Inch or an inch. And they've torn out all the floor, and the water is coming in on the mud. This is just a crime. And anything the city can do to tighten up the historic district rules and regs
so that people that come in here from out of the country or from the north or wherever they, whence they come, will have to understand that they can they can't do this to us anymore. I don't like the possums either.
I understand.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
But I would continue with a general question. Roger, you've been in the business longer than I have. Is there such a thing as a bond that could obligate an owner of a historic structure once he gets a permit or in the process of getting a permit from the Design Review Board to buy some kind of policy that guarantees that this wouldn't happen?
You know, the city could set regulations on just about anything you want to. The only caution that I would have is you can't discriminate against somebody with a historic structure and somebody with not a historic structure. Now, if you want to say that everything in the historic district would require it, then, again, small little houses, large houses, if I'm going to do that work, anybody that would go ahead and pull a permit would have to go ahead and get a bond. Bonds, when we require some kind of bonding or letter of credit, again, depending on what person's credit levels are, it typically would be a minimum of 1% of the cost of the project. So, again, if you had a $100,000 project, you're costing an extra $1,000. And depending on their credit, it could be not 1%, it could be 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. But, again, it's something that if council wants us to look into it and consider it, we certainly can. It's about the only thing that's going to guarantee that something's going to be done in a timely manner and get completed. In the 20-some years that I've been with the city, there's probably been other cases where things have not been completed in a timely manner like that, but it's a rare situation. We do know, it's very interesting, I start thinking back in the last 4, 5, 6 years, what other type of projects have we had where they're never exactly the same, but something that either got started or some work should have been done that didn't. On Laguerre, we had one. Person got put into a home. The house was not being taken care of. The kids who were taking care of the parents were out of town. And we went through a long, difficult legal situation, but we finally got the resolve. We had one on Moultrie in Gem Lakes. So you were involved with that one. Where somebody came in there and started to do some repairs, and for whatever reason they decided not to continue with those repairs, and so our only result right now is they have to board up the house. Well, nobody wants to be in a neighborhood with a boarded up house next to them. And we finally, it appears, have that one resolved, but that took several years. We got one on Waterloo Street. This is a commercial building, and they started doing some repairs and got only so far. And again, for whatever reason, they did not complete the repairs, and still, in fact, they're not completed to date. And again, we took the action we can, which, like on the Let's Pretend house, which is looking at safety issues and health concerns and issues. I could think of one on Marion Street that I was dealing with just about a month ago. Again, the person just taking forever getting these things done. And our requirement is you need to see some progress. Well, if a contractor is just trying to present progress, they could go ahead and not work for a month, then go in there for a day or two. Well, I've made some progress. And then another month or two goes by, and I've made some progress. So we have been looking at several different things. You know, like maybe we should remember, probably about 2 to 3 years ago, we approved a re-inspection fee. Somebody says, I want to inspect that home or that repairs that were done. We go out there to make the inspection, and nothing's really, there's just a lot of errors, and we become then the inspectors for them, or, you know, doing their work and write up a list of things that need to be completed. And so we started charging a re-inspection fee. We don't get very many re-inspections anymore. You got to hit the people where in the pocketbook if we're going to go ahead and get things done. It's a very difficult thing, you know, as you weigh both sides though and look at it. But we thought about, you know, what about a monitoring fee? you know, if we got this house here, we're going to have to go by every week or 2 weeks or once a month and spend time out there and write letters and correspond. Well, maybe there should be a monitoring fee. So if they're going to cease construction and nothing happens within 30 days, then we're going to start charging a certain fee per month for monitoring that structure. Public safety has to go by more often. Our code inspectors have to go by. Our building inspectors have to go by. We get people who don't keep up their yards, you know, rental property or whatever else. And again, we have to write letters and make phone calls. And most importantly, those the aggravation of the neighbors and those that live around there. They have to put up with these things. And again, it's a rare situation, but we do get it. And it's a very frustrating situation, not only for the neighbors, but, you know, staff trying to deal with these things and frustrated because we only have a few tools in our toolbox to go ahead and deal with the issues. What I like to do is, because, again, we have gone at this point in time about as far as we can with the less pretend house. The owner says that they're going to come back and they're going to fix it up and they're just waiting on the money. And I'm sure that is the majority of the reason why it is. They have 120 days to get certain things accomplished, and then we're going to have to take some more action. So that 120 days is, in our opinion, started in July, so we got August, September, October. So sometime the end of November, we're going to have to take some further action and write more letters. And, you know, the most difficult thing is when we say, you know, what went wrong. Everything was following along and working along in the fact that they went to the design review board, got approvals to make certain corrections to this structure as to what they wanted to see done. Now, we may not all agree on should they do those things to the structure or not, but the design review board did approve it. And the fact of the matter is they went along and did a number of things. The couple of times I've been out there since that time is the property, the grounds, are in pretty good shape. There's a few areas that were not in the best of shape, but 90% of the property was in pretty good shape. But there were some major openings underneath there. The pool was a definite issue. My biggest concern personally is if something's not done fairly soon, the moisture getting into the outside of the house, because they stripped off all the siding off that house, is going to really start deteriorating the house. And once it starts deteriorating, it accelerates. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's a slow process, but we've gone months now with no protection on the outside of the home.
What, and the design review approved the stripping of all the siding off the house? Is that aluminum siding or wooden siding?
I don't know what was there. Yeah,
but it was aluminum over wood,
right.
And they approved that both of them could be taken off?
I believe the fact once they took it off, like so many cases, a lot of the wood underneath the aluminum was in bad shape, and I believe they have to go back with a wooden siding. I don't know if, Ed, if you have that information in front of you or not. Okay, but again, I think the issue is, you know, where do we go from here?
But I think there are some suggestions that we could make to the design review board, considering what has been learned from this. Mm-hmm. Maybe the first is when you take off aluminum siding, before you strip the rest of it off and open the house to the weather, someone is to go out there and inspect that. And, you know, we're trying to keep original materials. And I guess Mrs. Pearson has got to find it ironic, because when she was just doing I was on the Preservation Commission then, when she was doing a minor change to a porch and a few windows, and we gave her a lot of trouble about that, and she did it just right. And then here all of a sudden all the windows are going wholesale, you know what I mean, and it was it was really a contradiction in the way things were handled. So I think a few specific suggestions maybe from what we've learned, you know, maybe we should not. If the aluminum siding is going to be taken off, then somebody should look at it before the rest of it's destroyed. If you're going to approve huge renovation changes, then maybe that's where what you're talking about should kick in, because the changes are so large, they're not going to just be affecting one little small area. And that maybe that monitoring fee should kick in then. I do have a question, though. Remember when we talked about that state law that gave anybody 7 years to do what they were going to do with a piece of property. And we were surprised at that, but the state legislature actually made a law that said that, isn't that, Gary, help me with this, because I don't know where this kicks in or not.
It's called the Vested Rights Act, mm-hmm. where if a plan was approved by a city official to deal with the development of real estate, in essence, that plan was locked in regardless of who owns the property for a period of up to 7 years, provided they come back and they renew it timely like they're supposed to and that sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
They have to come back and they have to request a renewal after a certain point. I don't have that number.
Oh, it's not 7 years before they have to request a renewal. It's less than that.
I believe it's every year.
It's every year.
They have to come back every, I think okay. the first time is 2 years, and then they can come back five more years.
But I was under the impression, excuse me, that in a design review board, you had a two-year limit. Is there any two-year limit at all? Does anybody know within the design review board approval for historic structures?
It's 2 years
is what Ed said.
Ed is saying two years.
But does that mean you have to come back after 2 years, Ed, and ask for continuance?
If you receive approval of a certificate of appropriateness from design review board, it's good for 2 years. You have to get a building permit within 2 years or it expires. And I'm not sure the Vested Rights Act applies to that or not, Gary, I can't remember, but I didn't think so.
But then after 2 years, what happens? You can come back and reapply?
Correct. You'd have to go back to the design review board and get another certificate.
Yeah.
I would hope that I wish the design review board were here to hear this discussion, because I think maybe, I mean, just as a learning experience, maybe we ought to go, somebody should go back to them and say, look, here's some things that have happened. What can we do? I mean, because I would, if I were a member of that board, I'd appreciate knowing where we might have asked for something or and did not, you know, because you don't, it's a hard question.
I do have this discussion on the, yeah. on the tape. That's a good thing,
mm-hmm.
and that's a part of
that's good
education for them.
I think it concerns me that when you're going to take off siding, that whoever bids the job should at least be aware of the fact that you don't know what you're going to find up underneath that, and that it could get into a lot more money than you originally thought. But I don't know how much further we can go beyond what we've already gone as far as dealing with the owner of the property. And the only thing I think that we can do right now is to make sure that something like this does not happen again. And I don't know what we could put in place with the board to make sure that it doesn't.
Well, I'd like us to look at least whether there's a financial instrument similar to what Jane Gunnels has given us. The description of what she gave us doesn't seem relevant, but could we just ask if there's a...
We're going to check on that.
Yeah, because that'd be the thing to go.
I've had to, in the past, call bonds or letters of credit, which gets into a legal action, but it's been done, and it can be done.
Well, I suggest at this point, and we want to hear anyone else that wants to talk, that we let our staff take all this information, our discussions and what have you, and see what we can come up with, mm-hmm. and come back to City Council. And in the meantime, talk with the design review. I think that's a very good idea about, hey, what can they do mm-hmm. at the beginning here? What can they do so that this doesn't happen?
Just know something else to look for.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm a resident in the neighborhood as well, and I had an issue where the design review board allowed my neighbor to take down a fence that was on the property line and withdraw his request to put up a fence in its place, which put me in a position where I had to put up a fence to protect my dogs. So how does that happen? How do you allow things to... you know, go away or be removed and not replaced? I mean, that doesn't make any sense either to me. So that's happening in the design review board. They're allowing fences to be removed that border the border a property, and then.
You can take a fence out if you want to.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but
so not be replaced. So I don't understand. I mean, the design review board just doesn't seem to be doing its job. I mean, they're not reviewing things properly or informing people of, you know, that sort of thing. I just don't understand how they're not inspecting the properties or giving these big properties permission and then not looking into them a little further.
I don't quite understand. That's pretty strong to say that they're not doing their job. But of course, this is a matter of opinion. But this was a neighbor's fence that he took down. Is that right?
No, it was on the property line. It was partially on his property, but partially on mine. So how do you remove a fence that was on the, you know, that separated two properties?
Well, if it wasn't his fence, that was wrong right there.
Right. He should not. But who's to say whose fence it was? My fence, my property had the same kind of fence that his had.
Mayor, that's not a design review board issue. That's a legal issue that would have to be disputed in court over who owns the fence.
Well, I plan to do that. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the design review board. First of all, the staff, but probably the design review board, talk to them about this issue, because as you all know, the design review board, when they make a decision, it's a legal decision. It does not come back to City Council for discussion. But we're going to change some aspects within our manual and require certain properties to have bonds or some other requirements. Let me get some opinions from them. Let us find out what some other cities are doing that may have had some similar issues, and we'll come back to City Council as soon as possible.
Okay. Does that sound fair? No.
I have sure. One more suggestion.
Sir, certainly. You want to?
Whatever language that we end up with, it address the safety and health issues. Whatever issues concerning the restoration of these properties are, and whatever state, whatever federal, whatever county, city regs exist to address these issues, they're superseded by laws about safety and health, about leaving property that children could wander into and drown or fall or be snake bit or whatever. But safety and health issues supersede any issues about removal of siding and et cetera. And I don't know whether there's any language in design review board regulations about seeing that there are no safety and health issues as restoration projects or remodeling projects proceed. But if there is not, then I would hope that you would push them to see that there is. If there is, then I hope that they would be pushed to give that priority in the future and that there be a monitoring system to see that, in fact, those issues are stringently addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for bringing this to our attention. Okay, item two, the Winter Polo Field Project, Mr. Waddup.
Yes, sir. I've been working with Dacre Stoker and the Aiken Land Conservancy, which owns Winthrop Polo Field. And the Winthrop Polo Field, due to the fact that it's owned by the Conservancy, is a piece of public ground that is used by a number of entities throughout our community. It's not just polo. They have soccer matches there. It's an open playing field area for the neighborhood. It's almost like a park, but it's not owned by the city. They have some issues along that field and in that area that they have come to me, and for the last several months we've been discussing how to deal with this. Basically, they would like to see all the pole fields and their property in this particular area, where there would be some kind of a wooden boarded fence put around it and the appropriate shrubbery to not only aesthetically beautify that area, but something that could be very easily maintained. Currently, there's just a mixture of material, plant material, a lot of Carolina cherries, a lot of undergrowth that's undesirable and very difficult to control. What we have discussed is we're always looking, how do you partner on these things so that it's not just the city of Aiken doing the work on its own, but that there would be a cost share in some way, whether that be in kind or actually in cash. So the end result is they would like to see that area cleared out. They'd like to see a fence put up there, and they'd like to see plant material placed along there so it could be maintained in the future. Once that's done, then there may be some other additional partnerships with the city on the property as we jointly look at that area as open space. To get it started, though, they are willing to do the clearing out work. Eric Radford's here. He has stated, and I hope I'm not going to put words in his mouth here, but he has stated that he is willing to go out there and oversee this project. He is an affected neighbor there, but he's also very interested and has told Dacre, because Dacre right now is probably more on the road than he's in town, something to do with some book or something, I don't know, that he's working on. And so Eric has stepped up and said, I'm willing to work with the city on this. If they clear it out, then he's asking us to go ahead and help with the removal of that material, pay for the fence and the plant material. We feel that the project would cost about $12,000 in total. We do have money set aside in the accommodation sales tax that we never designated this year. So if council would like to go ahead and work with them, again, their in-kind would be supervising the project, getting the fence put up, getting the area clear, all the cutting and stuff that needs to be done and opening up that area, and then we just pay for the materials that would be going on out there and getting the plants put in. So they are asking tonight that we would consider the approval of $12,000 from the accommodation tax funds for the removal of the debris, construction of a fence, and planting of shrubbery. We would need to coordinate this since it is in the historic area to make sure that the fence that eventually gets put up would be appropriate for that area, and same thing with the plant material. Ed and I have been talking about this. It's like with anything else in the historic area. We want to make sure it's appropriate for the area. It might be something that has to go before the design review board, or it might be something that could be administratively approved, but before anything gets put back in, it would have that process to go through. But they are very anxious in getting the other material out of there, and we're very anxious in getting the project moving forward because this is the time of the year to start putting in shrubbery, and we don't want to be waiting until February or March starting to work on it and get too late in the season. So okay. Eric's here, and I'm here to answer any questions. Jacob would be here, but he is out of town.
Eric, would you like to address this issue with us? Eric, by the way, Radford is a former city council member, and he's a very patriotic person. He's just returned for years and years over in Afghanistan, Iraq, responsible for medical, all the medical in that area. Eric, well, we're proud of you, certainly, for spending our country.
Hey, Mr. Mayor. Eric Raffa, 507 Sumter Street, Southeast. As Roger spoke briefly on the subject, if you've been familiar with the project, the Grace Avenue side and the Mead Avenue side have already been cleared, and this will be the border along Sumter Street. As Roger also mentioned, there's a mixture of different types of trees there, and we're trying to maintain the the keeper, so to speak. And so Bob Gore, who does a lot of work in the area, has consented to work with us and actually come in and do the clear cutting for us. So in essence, what we'll do is create a buffer, and then we'll have the fence on the inside of the property as opposed to the outside. And then we'll plant the shrubbery along there. We're excited about it. It'll dress up the neighborhood. As everybody knows, there's a lot of use on that facility and that field. And this is just that final step, that fourth leg in the project. And we would appreciate City Council approving this project. Any questions?
I have a question. Roger, you said a total of $12,000.
$12,000 that we would be spending towards the project.
So it's a total of really $18,000 is going to cost, $12,000.
Yeah, their in-kind would be $6,000, and I didn't include the labor cost of Mr. Radford, which I'm sure is quite extensive.
any other questions?
Mr. Mayor, no other questions, but I'd just like to say that this is another wonderful example of a public-private partnership in which we're able to accomplish much more together than either one of us could independently. And I'm just thankful that we have private citizens and the Land Conservancy that's willing to join in with us to accomplish these great things for our city.
Very good.
I failed to mention Ed Giobbe's in here also. He's one of the other neighbors. His was the third leg of the process, actually, that was cleared also. So I don't know if Ed had any comments.
Okay, very good.
Mr. Mayor?
Thank you, Ed. You're going to be out there working too, Ed?
Glad to help you out.
Okay. I know it.
I know. I think I just want to say one thing. I think.
How are you with the chainsaw?
No, I don't touch chainsaw.
Okay.
Just want to make council aware, and I think Eric has alluded to it, that Bob Gore is basically going to do much of the work at his cost. So I think you've probably factored that, the in-kind cost. I just want to at least give him a pat on the back because he feels that the community has been very helpful to him over the years, and he wants to pay the community back a little bit, and he deserves a lot of credit for it. Bob's a great guy, and he's willing to do the work at his cost.
Well, very good. Well, please tell him that we appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like, are you ready for a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
To
go ahead.
Approve the
$12,000.
I'd like to move that we approve the $12,000 needed to complete this project with much appreciation for what they in turn will be doing for the area.
Second.
Okay, we have a second. Any other discussion?
Is this field used for the soccer cup? Is this one of the soccer fields used for that? Okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay, no other comments, discussion? Show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Okay, thank you. Thank you again. Item 3, proclamation supporting the upcoming census in April 2010. Mr. Withers, please.
Yes, sir. The census is coming up this next spring. Very important for a number of reasons, but much of it is financial. But it's important to get an accurate count. They are asking that we pass this proclamation talking about the importance of the census. They are also asking that we may have a committee at some point in time. We basically have said that the structure of the committee should really be under the entire county because, you know, and we're willing to support the county in any way. If we do decide that a committee is necessary other than staff, which has been working on this project for over a year now, we would get back to City Council. But what we'd like to ask you to do tonight is to pass this proclamation supporting the census that would be occurring this next spring.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Everyone has signed it, so I take that as approval, right? Are there any, do we have a motion and a second to approve this?
Move that we approve the proclamation for the census.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion?
I think the more information we can get out about this, the better off we're going to be. There are all kinds of misnomers about
census tallying as to how it impacts families.
Right.
That some of them don't want to be counted for various reasons. So the less fear that we can remove regarding being counted, the advantages of being counted, and how it benefits municipalities across the state would be to our advantage, I think.
Okay, let's make a good point. Let's make sure that our wonderful reporters from the Aiken Standard, and also I want to take this time to introduce Stephanie Toon, who is now representing the Augusta Chronicle. For many, many months, we didn't have anyone. So, Stephanie, we thank you very much for being here and doing this. Do you all have copies already of this?
It would be the agenda pack.
It should be in the package.
Yes.
Okay. So if you could do whatever you could do maybe to get this in the paper and help do what Ms. Price said, that would be great. And there may be other ways we can do that also. Okay. We have a motion and second. Did we vote on it?
Motion.
Okay. All in favor? Passes unanimously. Thank you. Thank you. That's everything on our agenda formally. And so we stand adjourned. Thank everyone for being with us. Tonight's the night. My team.
Is the first game tonight?